Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UA Little Rock Public Radio. Musical groups are creating something very special. One choral, one orchestral. So, what is new? First, the Parkview Choir and the Arkansas Symphony Youth Orchestra face an exciting challenge. And my two guests today, Carolyn Foreman is the choir director at Parkview High School, and Jeffrey Robson, associate conductor with the Arkansas Symphony, has been director of the Arkansas Symphony Youth Orchestra for the past several years. I am embarrassed to confess that I had not known of the extent of training available to the Parkview High School singers until talking with Carolyn Foreman today as she describes these opportunities.
Because we're an arts magnet, students apply and they are placed on a lottery. And so I will receive, I get whatever the lottery, whoever comes up on the lottery, I get those students. And then we audition them and place them in the choir based on their ability.
And if they don't have the voices you're looking for, who is it who decides to send them to apply to you?
Well, we recruit the middle schools and some of the high schools and some of the private schools. We try to recruit students who really have a desire, and we have some that are not doing as well as we would like for them, but we continue to work with them, and as long as they are make a passing grade, they can remain at the school. Now, they may not ever become an advanced singer, but they are as long as they're passing in their magnet area, which would be vocal music, then they are allowed to stay there.
And this is in the school district where Parkview is the high school that accepts this type of recruiting.
Yes.
And they've been in Arkansas all the time. These are Arkansas students?
Yes.
Are you pleased with the way it's going?
I'm very pleased with we are even looking into having some auditions in which a percentage of the students that we accept a percentage of the students based on how well they did on the audition, and then another percentage they'll get to come in based on the lottery. So we're working on some things to improve it, but we're very pleased with the program. Of course, there are things that we would like to improve because there are a lot of students in the Little Rock area who would like to come to Parkview, but because of the lottery, they don't get accepted. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So we would like to have more students who really want to be in a program that's intense, because we do a lot of performances, and maybe a student that's not as talented, maybe that student would not like to do all that performing, but we do a lot of performances, and we pride ourselves in getting out in the community, and we work with the Clinton Library, and we've performed with UALR, we've performed with UCA, and we are really pleased with what we do.
And the material that they sing, this is at your decision?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you would be the one to pick things that you haven't worked with before, or with pieces that you feel are just right for the voices, that you have a fair idea of what you're bringing in. And do you have a wide range?
We do have a wide range. We normally pick our music, except the all region and the all state music is picked by a committee. So we don't really have a say so in that. But the other music that we do, we pick ourselves. For example, we do a medieval feast the first weekend in December. And so my assistant and I, we select the music that we're going to use for a medieval feast. When we go to the Clinton Library, they give us a theme, and we select music to go with the theme because it's more of a production with acting and band, choir, and orchestra. So, but most of the time, we're selecting the music.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the decision of how large a group will sing in which pieces and the individuals that you will choose to be the soloists or the smaller group within the larger group. And these are things that you've been working on all through the summer, probably. And,
oh, yes.
Yes. Do you have a particular favorite that you go to for the composers?
Well, I think that because I've done it several times, I really like the Mozart Requiem Mass. We did that last spring for our spring concert, and I learned it in college, and I'm happy that, you know, I finally have a group that can perform it. We've performed before with UALR when they did it, but this was last spring was the first time that I had a group that actually performed the entire Mozart Requiem on our own.
That's quite something. And then do you do it to piano or a cappella? Or?
We sing a combination, some accompanied with orchestra, sometimes the band accompanies us. And then, of course, we have madrigal singers, and they do quite a bit of a cappella music. Mm-hmm. And the large choir is called Lab Singers, and they do a mixture of music. The students who are not so into the Renaissance music, a lot of times they'll say, well, I would rather be in the large group. But then you have those students who really want to sing those madrigals, and they really work hard to learn that music. They have really good musicianship, and they sing with the madrigals.
And what is your background?
Well, I attended the Little Rock Public Schools and graduated from Central High School. And I've always wanted to be a music teacher, a choir director. My grandfather was a choir director at his church down in Ouachita County, and they sang the old-fashioned shape notes. And so I used to travel with him as he would go from church to church doing singing conventions. So it's in my blood. And so I didn't really want to leave Arkansas, because by the time I was 16, I was directing the youth choir at my church. So when I graduated, I went to UALR, and I was there 4 years and got my degree. And I was hired with the Little Rock School District, and it was very interesting because it was the year that Little Rock laid off 300 teachers. And there were only two positions available, and I got one of those positions.
Wow.
And while I was teaching, I went to UCA in the summers, and I got my master's.
But I was thinking, as you were talking, all the things that you would have done. Who was the director at UALR when you were working to get your degrees?
Dr. Ned DeJernet.
And he'd been there for quite a while, hadn't
right,
he?
Right, yeah.
Yes. So when and where did you and Jeff get together with this plan?
A few years ago, they did a Pops concert, and I got a call and was asked. It was probably through Barbara Burroughs. She called, and you all went, oh, yes, we want to sing with the symphony. And we had a good time. And so I told Jeff afterwards, I said, well, if you want to do something, let me know. We like to do projects.
So, Jeff, when did you start working with the idea of getting voices with the youth orchestra?
Well, it's something that's been percolating for a while, really. You know, in the 5 years or so that I've been working with the youth orchestra, I've always tried to come up with new collaborations, and we've worked with Ballet Arkansas, and we've worked with the Children's Theater and at the Art Center, but what we haven't done is a major choral work. And this is something that I've been kind of wanting to do for a while. And like Carolyn mentioned, I got to meet Carolyn when I was conducting an ASO Pops concert. And, you know, we'd gotten our music, and it was a Broadway show. And it turned out there was a chorus needed, a chorus of young voices, I think, specifically. And so Barbara connected us, and it was a great experience. And the kids were superb. And you know, seeing Carolyn work with the kids. And so combined with this idea of wanting to do a choral work with the youth orchestra sort of came to a head late last spring when I was putting this fall season together, and it just kind of hit me that this was the year that it was going to happen, you know, schedule wise. And so we spoke, and I had the idea actually while I was driving from New York City to Northern Michigan in June, and I was like, Haydn Nelson Mass, yes. And
why? You know, and why did that hit you?
You know, well, it had come up in conversation with someone while I was in New York this summer, actually, and I had mentioned that, you know, I had wanted to do a choral work with my youth orchestra, and you know, I thought I had a chorus, and I definitely had some soloists in mind, and had been thinking Bach, but then I was like, no, I think, you know, Haydn is maybe more the direction we need to go, and so my friend who I was having dinner with at the time was more of a choral conductor than I am, and she gave me some listening to do, and so I was, you know, listening through, and I knew a bit about the story of the Nelson Mass, and it's just every time I hear the music, I'm blown away, and I was like, this is it. I think this is something that the students can do, and I think this is something the vocal students can do, and so I was thrilled when Kellen replied enthusiastically. And
the funny thing was that I was looking over some music during the summer, because I knew you said we were going to do some Bach, and then when you called and said Lord Nelson Mass, I was looking through some works for to do maybe in the spring with my choir, and Lord Nelson Mass, a friend of mine said, you know, sometimes Haydn doesn't get a lot of, you know, Haydn has beautiful music and a lot of the directors don't do it. And he said, look at that Haydn Lord Nelson Mass. And so it was so funny when he called me, because I'd had another music teacher said, look at the Haydn Lord Nelson Mass.
Oh, that's so neat. Yeah.
Yes.
And so it really came together great. And it's just, I mean, in terms of Haydn's music, you know, the as a instrumentalist and conductor, symphonic conductor, you know, of course, the chamber music and the late symphonies and all of that are just amazing. But really, I think his six late masses are perhaps his absolute finest work. I mean, it's just stunning music.
So given that you've given yourself this barrier to overcome, what did you do in the short time when you were going to, this is what you were going to do, in preparing yourself individually, you, with your youth orchestra that you know so well, and that you'd been building up with them, the fact that they are going to have to do accompany voices and the difference this is going to be. How do you approach your young players with this, talking to them? What kind of reception were they getting at the thought of doing this?
Well, I think they're always excited to collaborate. And I think all of the students who've known me for several years know to always expect the unexpected when the new music shows up at the beginning of the semester, beginning of the second semester. And so I don't think anyone was really surprised that we were doing another big collaboration. We had last spring played some Mozart, and so I was able to build on some of the teaching of classical style that I had done with them last spring. We've been able to build on that. But, you know, we're getting together in just a few days' time for the first time, everyone in one room, and it's going to be a real learning experience for the youth orchestra kids to learn how to play underneath. You know, they've played underneath an instrumental soloist, but to learn how to play underneath a choir and then explode out at just the right moments. And, you know, and like I was saying to your students today, to the choir, there'll be stuff to learn there with playing with singing behind a 60-piece symphony orchestra, just the very idea of tempo is going to be a little bit different.
Because the students were really excited today, and we had issues with tempo because they were into it and they're bouncing and all, and then all of a sudden they're rushing the tempo, and he's like, well, you know, the orchestra is probably going to hold back more, so we're going to have to really keep that tempo. But they get, you know, the singers get excited and they sing faster.
But of course, yes, and the music itself impels it.
Oh, it does. It does. It really does.
And that's a good problem to have, because it's much easier to rein it in when a choir is a little bit ahead than when a choir is a little bit behind. So I love the enthusiasm, and I think it's going to
be great. So how many bodies will be performing?
Is it how many?
I have about 52.
And in the Haydn, we have a few more than this, but it's not the largest orchestra for the Haydn, but it's large for Haydn. We'll have about 55 to 60.
And
then there's a quartet of vocal soloists as well.
Ah. So when you came back and Carolyn came back, and you both laughed at the fact that the Lord Nelson Mass was in the minds and the supports of both you and the people around you who were sort of pushing you in that direction. When did you start working with them, and how much work have you had to do between when you got together and when you perform next week, is it?
Next week, yes. And well, it's always, I think the same probably goes for you. You know, I mean, your choirs are involved in so many different performances, and this is a, you know, the youth orchestra, I'm always challenging them with a variety of repertoire. So this is about a third of the concert as a whole, repertoire wise and completely different stylistically. So it's always a balance trying to work just the right amount of time on everything so that kids have covered everything and understand. So that's one of the challenges, I think.
Yeah. Now, the two of you have been working together on this. You'll be on the podium conducting them. Where will you be?
I will be in the audience watching and listening.
So when you've got that aspect of involvement, and you know because of how much you've been working, would you say that you've had more time, put more time into this as a result of being with a full orchestra than Jeff would have done getting ready to sing to perform the work with his orchestra, who may not be quite as phased, perhaps, of being part of a much larger ensemble?
Oh, no, they're going to be terrified.
But I think that because Jeff has been working with them, so he kind of knew their ability in the process. And when I come back in the fall, I don't always know what I'm going to get, but I just made up my mind, we're going to do this. And I have a young group. I have a lot of new students. We have other magnet areas. We have students from the drama magnet who are singers in our choir, or we have band magnet students who are also in the choir. They take it as an elective, or visual arts, or science magnet. So I think he probably had more of an idea because he knew the students, and they've been playing together for you. But what I did is, as soon as we talked and it was the Lord Nelson, I was at choir camp at UCA. And so I immediately started listening to the music. And when I got to school, because the kids were waiting to say, they were waiting for me to announce what we were going to do for the spring. And then I said, you know what? I said, we're going to do a major work this fall. I said, this is going to be the busiest fall that we've ever had. And I told them we were going to do the Haydn Lord Nelson Mass, and they were on it. They start pulling out their cell phones, and they start listening to it, like, where's the music? When are they going to bring the music? So they were very anxious they were very excited just listening to the music.
Now, had they played much? You mentioned the Requiem Mass.
We did the Requiem Mass last May.
But they were comfortable with the difference of what they've been playing, what they've been performing under you since they became under you in that particular choir, in that particular school.
Oh, yes. I think they're very comfortable with it.
Yeah. So they didn't necessarily come to the first rehearsal without knowing exactly.
The students in the advanced groups, they all read music and have good musicianship, sight reading skills. So they were very anxious to get started. And, you know, they're ready on the first. As a matter of fact, we come the week before school starts and we pass out the all region music and we have a workshop two evenings the week before school starts to get everybody a head start on their all region audition music. So they were anxious. I said, they're going to bring the music. They're going to be, because my kids were listening to the music. And of course, they think they can do more than they can, because they were saying, well, are we going to get to sing the solos? And I said, No, he's going to have professional singers. And it was because last year when we did the Mozart, I thought that I was going to bring in some of my former students who are in college, music majors, to do the solos. And it became so competitive, I ended up having auditions because they kept saying, we really can't do this. And so I finally had auditions. And we were able to use my students. There was just one quartet in which I called in some of my former students who were in college, and they did that. But all the other solos were done by my students.
So what's happened this time?
The solos are a little bit harder. In the Haydn, you really do need some professional singers, even though my kids think they can do anything, but that's what happened.
They'll learn, and maybe they will next time.
So who are you bringing in? Superb bunch of kids. They learn so quickly, and it's just, you know, when I've gone into the school and worked with them, I mean, you can just tell that they're well rehearsed every day.
So who are you bringing in as the soloists?
So the soprano soloist will be Katia Kachergina, and the mezzo will be Vina Akama Makia, who's actually a grad student at Eastman this fall, but a UCA grad. And the tenor is Daniel Foltz Morrison. And the bass is actually the new professor here at UALR, Dr. Emery Stevens.
Yes,
so it should be a fabulous quartet.
Yes. So given that you've got this balance between the four voices, are they divided? First soprano, second soprano.
It's all just four-part chorus.
Oh, okay.
So, which is something that I think is both amazing that Haydn is able to construct such a powerful, incredibly written choral work with only four parts. Also, something that makes it a little more manageable, I think, for students.
Sure.
And then same with the vocal quartet, obviously.
Yeah. And what about the balance actually of the voices themselves? When you were choosing who would go in which tenors you'll use, or were you able to use all your students?
No, I'm using the madrigal singers and the lab singers. The lab singers is about 42. And some of them are in madrigals and labs, some of them in both groups. But these are the two advanced groups that we have.
And they obviously, now that it's coming so close, beginning to realize quite what it is they are undertaking. And now that they come together for the first time this weekend?
Well, by the time this airs, it'll be a couple days after this airs, on Thursday. So next week, it's just three. It'll be a intense 3 days before the performance.
So how will you work the rehearsals?
Well, so we'll, we'll get everyone in there, and only way to start is to give it a go, and then we'll see how it goes. Talk about some ensemble stuff, but then I'll visit with Carolyn, right away to talk about balance.
And where will you rehearse?
We will rehearse in the venue, which is the performance will be at the Albert Pike Memorial Temple on Scott Street, downtown Little Rock. And it's a beautiful 700-seat venue that has great acoustics. And I'm really excited to hear the choir in there, actually. And so, but it does, as every old venue does, and new venue has its quirks. And so we'll be trying to work those out on Thursday.
Now, is that where You did magic flute?
Yes.
Now, will they have those drapes?
Probably not. We're going to be set up in front of the stage, and the choir will be kind of on the front steps that go up to the stage, and then the orchestra in front of that. So I'm expecting that the main curtain will be drawn. So in the past, now the youth orchestra has been having its fall concert in that venue for, this will be the fourth year now. And the past several years, we've collaborated in the fall with Ballet Arkansas. And so we've done some staging and used their elaborate, amazing scenery that they have there. But this is going, this as an instrumental only performance or not staged.
My guests today were Carolyn Foreman, choir director at Parkview Arts Magnet High School, and Jeffrey Robson, associate conductor at the Arkansas Symphony and director of the Arkansas Symphony Youth Orchestra, who have brought us up to date with the collaboration between the high school and the Arkansas Symphony. They will be performing the Haydn Lord Nelson Mass on Sunday, November the 12th at 3 p.m. in the Masonic Temple in downtown Little Rock. For tickets, call the Arkansas Symphony at 501-666-1761 or visit arkansasymphony.org. Children are admitted free. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.
My guests today were Carolyn Foreman, choir director at Parkview Arts Magnet High School, and Jeffrey Robson, associate conductor at the Arkansas Symphony and director of the Arkansas Symphony Youth Orchestra, who have brought us up to date with the collaboration between the high school and the Arkansas Symphony. They will be performing the Haydn Lord Nelson Mass on Sunday, November the 12th at 3 p.m. in the Masonic Temple in downtown Little Rock. For tickets, call the Arkansas Symphony at 501-666-1761 or visit arkansasymphony.org. Children are admitted free. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.